Throughout this month of April, we've been telling stories, good stories, great stories. Your story, my story, as it revolves around the greatest story of all. We've got a new set of daily Bible reading booklets that are available right now as you leave the room in just a little bit. Head out and grab a daily Bible reading book. But that greatest story of all is a story of Jesus, of his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection. We are confused about that story. Many of us are. We think we know the basics, and perhaps we do, but do we? Paul, over in the book that we call Colossians, writing to that church, said these words in the second chapter of the 8th verse, where he talked about some dangers, some deceptions. He said it like this. He said, "See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ." There are competing stories out there. There are those who will tell us that the cross is basically a figment of a vivid imagination, that the power of the cross is just a legend, that there are other things to consider, that a God who truly created all things out of nothing, if you believe that, would never have stooped to a cross to prove any point. But we know better. We know that it is within that story, the facts of the cross of Jesus, that we find our salvation. Paul continued in this passage in the second chapter, beginning in verse 13, by reminding us of what God has done for us through Jesus and his death upon the cross. Verse 13 of chapter 2. "When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven all of our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us. He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him." Go back, verse 13. "We were dead in our sins, but God has made us alive in Christ." That's through the cross. Verse 14. "The list of sins against us," what did God do? He canceled it through the cross. "Having stripped powers and authorities, God announced our victory." All of those things centering upon the power of the cross. So if we're truly going to understand what the cross is all about, we have to pour our lives into it. We have to make it our motto, our signature. It has to be our life. But you know, we really can't do that until we look deeply into what the Scripture says about that cross. We go behind the scenes, if you will. Troy mentioned that we're going to have a presentation, a gospel presentation, a worship experience called The Story, centering our stories around the story of Jesus, his life. But not just the story of Jesus, but the story of the creation of the world and everything that God has done for us because of His love, because of His plan for us. But tonight, there's a lot of things going on behind the scenes. You and I won't recognize it. I came and experienced it last night and walked in and been gone last week and realized that we had a little different setup here. We've got one huge screen instead of two smaller ones. And there's a lot of multimedia things going on. And the sad thing or the scary thing about it is I think everything that goes on, Troy has programmed into this computer, which means if something happens to that computer, what happens? We're in big trouble. Now, that's not going to happen. But behind the scenes, they spent weeks hanging these, whatever they are, lights or projectors. Everything going on behind the scenes that we don't pay attention to, everything revolves around those behind the scenes experiences. So it is with the cross. So I want to ask you to go with me behind the scenes. It's that Friday morning. Jesus is being paraded through the streets of Jerusalem on that path that will lead outside the city walls to that hill called Golgotha. We refer to it as the hill of Calvary. We sing about it. It's where His crucifixion would take place. But behind the scenes, this is what was happening. Jesus is bearing that crossbeam, and as He stumbles upon the roadway, as He is beaten, people are screaming out, "Crucify Him! Crucify Him!" And you didn't hear it unless you were close to Jesus. But He uttered these words almost as a whisper. "Oh, you have no idea what's going to be crucified here today." That followed with another slap of the whip from the Roman soldier. And the Roman soldier, thinking he was doing more harm than good, finally got Jesus to that place and turned Him around as He was strapped to that beam and made Him look at that cross, that vertical post that He would be nailed to. And Jesus didn't smile, but He had that look of contentment, if you will. And He said these words, "All is ready." Because you see, Jesus hadn't seen that cross since the creation of all things. But He saw it in its reality. He saw it in real space and time. Behind the scenes. But it's when Jesus was laid out on the ground and His crossbeam was attached to that vertical post, He looked around to make sure that everything was in place. That included, of course, the vertical beam that He would be nailed to. It included the nails, the hammer. He didn't see it at first, but then He noticed that the spear was there as well that would pierce His side. The Roman soldier was puzzled because he had done many of these crucifixions before, and every single time, 99 times out of 100, the victim would fight against that arm being spread across that vertical, that horizontal beam, and that nail, that spike being placed right here, and the hammer going through and pinning the body to the cross. But Jesus willingly opened His hand. The soldier had never seen that before. And what the soldier didn't see, as He raised the hammer to drive the spike through the flesh of Jesus into the beam, didn't see Jesus' other hand as it lifted up slightly and turned and made a gesture. And Jesus whispered these words, "All things to the cross." All things to the cross. Immediately, the angelic host of heaven was set free. Angels scrambled in just a nanosecond outside of space and time, outside of that continuum that we call reality and real life. It didn't happen. Behind the scenes, we could see those angels going to all the four corners of the earth, especially centering upon the city of Jerusalem. And they waited. The energy of those angels. You could feel the electricity, the divine electricity in the air, because they were waiting for the call. You see, angels up until Jesus said, "All things to the cross, all things are ready." Angels couldn't move about freely. But in these moments of the cross, they were set free to take on their appointed task. And those tasks happened one after the other. As the other spike was driven into the wrist of Jesus, once again willingly laying open that arm and spreading out that hand. And then as his ankles were put together and the spike went through, driving it through both ankles into the beam. As he was raised high and dropped in that hole around 9 o'clock that Friday morning, there was another continuum of time going on. And the angel, Gabriel, immediately, in just that long a period of time, traveled through time and space to fulfill his destiny. He went all the way to the beginning of time, and he went all the way to a cross where a lamb had been slain. Because you see, that had happened before the foundation of the world. But now the angel Gabriel took that slain lamb and immediately zapped forward in time and thrust that animal upon the cross and was absorbed by the very body of Jesus. The slain lamb before the foundation of the world joined with the real time slain lamb. Joined together. Where? On the cross. It was the angel Michael that zapped next all the way back to that door of time. And he dug up the grave where the bones of Adam had been rotting and wasting away for millennials. And he took that firstborn of all creation that was wrapped up in the choices that all of creation had made in turning away from the plan of God and being banished from that garden. It's all part of the story. But Gabriel took the bones that represented the human race, and as he zapped through time, much faster than a speeding bullet, he thrust the bones of Adam upon that cross. The sins of the human race finally being put in their proper place, nailed to the cross. Along with that, another angel, his name I think was Messenger. That's all we need to know about him. He gathered up all of the powers and the dominions and the armies and the forces that represent the power of mankind. And you know what he did with them? He gathered them all up in one big angelic armload and traveled beyond the barriers of space and time and thrust all of those powers and dominions to the cross. It says there that God, what? He triumphed over them. He made a public display of them. All things to the cross. But there was one angel. Her name is Rachel. She was at her appointed place through all these hours, sitting on top of the hill of Golgotha, while all of her allies were traveling through space and time. She remained right where her place was to be on the hill during those hours. And behind the scenes, what you and I would never have seen, what those there never saw, but it was just as real as flesh and blood, was what Rachel saw. For she saw a group of people over here, Hebrews, Jews, and a group of people over here, Gentiles, and a wall of separation between the two. And she grabbed hold of that curtain of separation and she ripped it from its place. And she wadded it up in her hands and she thrust it upon the body and the bosom of Jesus. And that wall of separation ended up exactly where it was destined to be from the beginning, on the cross. It was the angel Daniel whose turn it was next. In just a matter of crossing the barrier of time and space, he found himself at Mount Sinai. And it didn't take him long to find the crumbled remains of those tablets of stone. And he picked them up and he gathered them in his arms. And immediately he was transported back to Jerusalem, but not to the hill of Calvary, not to Golgotha, not to the cross, but to the temple. And he went through into the Holy of Holies and he opened up that Ark of the Covenant and he grabbed those remaining, the replica of those tablets of stone. And he grabbed all the rituals that were built up in Jewish worship. And then he waited to hear the final order, and it was given. And he even took the Sabbath day along with him. And all of that ritual, and all of that pretense, and all of that religion, the angel Daniel took it. And you know where he went with it? He shoved it and pushed it and sent it straight into the chest of Jesus, to the cross. Folks, you see, behind the scenes, there was a lot going on. Because the Bible refers to this great story, this plan of God, and in creation, and creation rejecting God, and then everything and all of the men and the women that God worked through, it all had its focal point on those 6 hours in real time on that Friday. But it swooped up and encompassed everything. We will read in the pages of the New Testament where Jesus, shortly before he gave up his spirit, cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And was then and there that all of the angelic power had to come together in one combined unit of angelic power and harness the greatest enemy of all, death. They had to go straight to the pit of hell. And even then, death and sorrow and despair put up a good fight. But they grabbed death by the neck. This is all behind the scenes, but it's real. They grabbed death by the neck and they slowly dragged him all the way through the future back to the past. And you know where they put death. They put death on the cross. You see, that's what the scripture says. God took all of those things that counted against us, even the greatest enemy of all. And what did he do? Having nailed it to the cross. But you know, we look through here and I've missed something. There's one other thing that was placed upon that cross. There was one more thing that had to be thrust upon the body and the spirit of the Son of God, the sinless slain Lamb. You and me. Unless and until you see your very life nailed to that cross, you will never understand the story. You will never put the pieces together that add up the bottom line to the total of salvation in our lives. So where does that leave us? If we believe the Scripture, and if you have gone on a brief journey behind the scenes to imagine what was going on, what the real theological importance, what the real meaning of this cross is really all about, then you and I must deal with our own spot on that cross. Right there in front of you in the worship guide, it says, list three fears. And I gave you three blank lines. You can do it now. You can do it later. Do it before this day is done. What is it that frightens you the most? Is it death? Where is it gone? It's gone to the cross. Is it fear of failure? Where have failures gone except driven straight to the cross? Is it anxiety about the past, the present, the future? Where have all those things gone? They've been put to death on the cross. And through that death, made alive. We are made alive in Christ. So list out all of those fears. And I've got more than three. And for each one of them that I write down, I have to look at them and cross them out. Not because of what I have done. Not because of any strength or goodness on my part or on your part for yours. But in Christ, I simply take them where Colossians 2 tells us they rightfully belong. On the cross. Father, thank you for a new day. Thank you for an opportunity to come before you and get the story straight. Father, help us to see our own lives as wrapped up in the cross. That indeed, this was your plan from the very beginning. And it included our salvation. So we bring those hopes, we bring those fears, we bring our very beings and offer them to you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. We wrap up this hour the way we always do each and every week, an opportunity to respond. That's what stories are really all about. Stories have a point. Stories captivate the mind. Stories bring us to a point of decision. And so this most important story of all does the very same thing. I want to ask you to add to your own story, because maybe your story picks up and leaves and goes no farther than, what are you going to do with Jesus? If you truly understand and know what God has been about through the entire story that we find in Scripture, as it applies to our own telling of our story, of how we're living life, you can't help but come to that place called the cross. And it's there we put ourselves on it. We give our lives to Him because of it. So I do ask that if there's anyone in here that wants to continue your story in a way that leads to the cross, I want to invite you to make that choice. There'll be ministers and deacons standing here to receive you, to pray for you. Can't do it for you. Can't make that choice. It's yours and yours alone. But the choice is there. Maybe you're here today and you know the Lord, just never told anyone. Tell us. profess your faith in Him. There's a baptismal pool up there. We're not going to use it today for obvious reasons. But the command to be baptized as believers is clear in Scripture. You just may need to clarify what it means for you and help you to understand how the telling of that part of your story can be an encouragement to all. Maybe it's a church you need. Maybe it's a church where you find yourself, where you want to find yourself in a place you could call home, where you can serve, where you can plug in. Well, here we are. Perfect church? No. But a group of people who are seeking together to bring the kingdom of God closer to this earth? Yes. Well, we're seeking to understand one another and use our gifts and abilities to tell this story? Absolutely. Hopefully, this is a place where you're going to find all things nailed to the cross. So if that's the kind of fellowship you're looking for, if that's where God's leading you, how do you join a church like ours? You come forward. It's not all there is to it, of course, but it's the beginning. It's the step in your story. And then for many of us, it's this way every time we walk into an opportunity to worship and choose. It's that as believers, as those who followed Him in baptism, those who have our name on the roll of a church somewhere, if not here, that it still goes back to those fears, those anxieties. But look behind the scenes. Go back there. And know that that's how things could have happened. That it was all from the foundation of the world, destined to be that cross at that time in history. And we're destined to be there too. So how does that change the way you live? How does it change your priorities? How does it change the way you spend your time? How does it change the way you allocate your resources? All things nailed to the cross. That's our invitation. We stand, we wait here for you. As God leads, you respond.